So good evening. Thanks, Rachel, for brilliant reading. It's not an easy passage, that one, with lots of tricky locations to read out. But yeah, great. It's my pleasure really to be here tonight and to share God's word with you. And what a passage to preach on. Pentecost, a special day in the church's calendar. And at Pentecost, what we're really celebrating is God fulfilling Jesus' promise. And that promise is that a gift of the Holy Spirit. And this festival that we call Pentecost, it's celebrated widely around the world. In France and Germany, they have a bank holiday. And I think in the Eastern Orthodox Church, they get a whole week off. So it's pretty good. And many people call it the birthday of the church. And it's a great, joyful event. And in some ways, it's better than a normal birthday. And why do I say that? Well, it's because everyone can join in and celebrate. It's better than normal because the gift we are celebrating is God and has a never-ending impact. And the Bible text that was read earlier describes the main events of Pentecost. But I'd like to ask five basic questions to gather some information about the reading and about what happened. So in the first question we usually ask is who? There are five W's, and I'll come on to them. So if we look back a bit earlier in our Bibles, in Acts, in chapter 1, verse 15, we find out that what happened occurred to a group of about 120 Jewish believers, mainly from the same part of Israel, Galilee. And they were normal people, just like us, although the Bible obviously concentrated on the fishermen and the tax collectors. They were people with a strong local dialect and accent, men and women who had been told by Jesus to wait in Jerusalem, and they were probably a little bit scared and a little bit unsure of what was going to happen next. But it's not just the people, the believers, who are involved in this passage. God himself, in the form of the Holy Spirit, arrives. As the normal folk were waiting together obediently, the Holy Spirit came down from heaven in mighty power. And this is the same Holy Spirit who was involved in creating the universe. This is the same Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead and now returned in a dramatic way. And as we'll find out in my other questions and the answers to those, this is not just a historical event that occurred 2,000 years ago. It's not like an episode of Horrible Histories. You and I are also involved in this story. And this church's birthday has relevance to us all. Which leads me on to question two. What exactly happened when the Holy Spirit came? And some quite amazing things happened straight away. We had the sound of a violent rushing wind. It filled the whole place. We had tongues of flame. We came down and rested on each and every person. And the fact that it rested on every person is quite important. No one was left out. You might see in some churches that people wear red at Pentecost, or orange and yellow, and you might see that the church is decorated with red and orange and yellow pennants and flags. And that's to signify and symbolize the flames of the Holy Spirit. So immediately, the believers were filled with the Holy Spirit. And what happened to them? They started speaking in foreign languages and speaking in tongues, a special spiritual language. People were in Jerusalem from all over the world, and they recognized their own languages, and they thought, oh, hang on a minute, what's going on here? these fishermen and tax collectors from Galilee, which is like Israel's Yorkshire, were sort of all of a sudden speaking, you know, all these foreign languages. So what happened? They said, oh, some of these are drunk. The disciple Peter, who'd been very close to Jesus, was given great wisdom at that point. You notice in verse 14, from then onwards, he speaks to the crowd and he explains what happened. So God actually gave Peter real godly insight. And Peter links the outpouring of the Holy Spirit back to Scripture to demonstrate that this was actually fulfilling God's word to the Old Testament prophet Joel. And Joel testified that the Spirit will be poured out on all people, young and old, men and women, boys and girls, rich and poor alike. So that was the what. Question three, when? So just to put it in its timescale, it wasn't long after Jesus had gone up into heaven, and it was during the time of the Jewish Festival of Weeks. And the timing of the event was quite crucial, really, in terms of the growth of the new church. Many Jewish pilgrims we talked about were in Jerusalem with their families. And basically, this enabled them to take what they'd heard back to their communities and start, you know, building churches, planting churches there. So it basically meant that the church exploded out from Jerusalem at that time. So that also answers question four, where? Jerusalem, but spreading around the Middle East as we know it today. And question five, why? Why did this happen? To fulfill Jesus' promise. And at that moment, the Holy Spirit anointed those believers. They were given power and authority. And those spiritual gifts at that time witnessed confidently to those other Jewish pilgrims who were in Jerusalem. But that wasn't just it. It wasn't just a flash in the pan. As we read on in Acts, following chapter 2, you find out more about the Holy Spirit and about his true lasting impact on people. If you read the stories in Acts, you'll find Spirit-filled people meeting together and witnessing boldly. And it had a tremendous impact. The church grew it massively and quickly. And conversions were accompanied by healings and miraculous signs and wonders. The church grew and grew so big and so successful that serious opposition and persecution began not long after. But again, that's not the end of the story. And, you know, although as you get towards the end of Acts, the drama might have dialed back a bit, but the Holy Spirit is still at work. And as we read through Acts, we find that the Holy Spirit, we find more and more about this Holy Spirit, and he's defined in various places in the Bible. And some of you will know other names for the Holy Spirit, such as Counselor, Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, the Spirit of Peace, and some of you will be aware of the Holy Spirit's role as a teacher. So we see that the Holy Spirit has these different characteristics, and the Holy Spirit living within people in that developing early church, we see these spiritual characteristics of truth, peace, counselor, comforter, teacher being displayed, their gentle, loving, peaceful characteristics. And as the believers matured, fruit began to form within them. New characteristics developed as a spiritual fruit from the Holy Spirit, from their souls, and that blessing in their lives grew and sort sort of overflowed, poured out, and touched the lives of others. So that's my five questions. But I thought I'd throw in another one, actually. So my final question is question six. It's so what? And it's a question that I ask quite a lot, and quite an annoying question. But, you know, what does that mean to us now, this Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is not just a historical thing, not just for those Jewish believers, not just for the early church. The Holy Spirit lives on, and it's the gift that keeps on giving. It's God's gift, it was promised by Jesus, and it's for you and everyone here. There's no exceptions. There's no half measures. And to get hold of the Holy Spirit, you just need to be baptized by the Holy Spirit, and you'll receive the Spirit, the same Spirit that appeared at Pentecost. That's God's promise. And if you receive the Holy Spirit, the same things that will happen to them will happen to you. You will be anointed. You'll be empowered to share the good news of Jesus. And as the Holy Spirit lives within you, you'll find that you'll be drawn together towards other believers into a deeper life of peace, a life of prayer and communion. The Holy Spirit as counselor helps us to learn about God. It reminds us of what Jesus said, and it molds us in his image. Holy Spirit strengthens us all in hard times. Is with us through doubts, uncertainties, and everything else that life throws at us, and reminds us and shows us the true path. So the Holy Spirit's always with us, faithfully leading us and helping us to become fruitful. And the blessings in us begin to mature out of our lives and into others. And it's like a wellspring of God's presence in our lives, and Jesus living through us. So, six questions, quite a lot of answers, and some good reasons, I think, to celebrate the church's birthday this weekend. So, yeah, I'd just like to wish you all a happy church birthday, and enjoy God's gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
So, let's pray. So, if you just quieten ourselves. Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." We bring to you now anything that is worrying us or making us afraid. Thank you for hearing us, Lord. Please help us to know your peace. The prophet Joel reminds us that whoever calls out to the Lord for help will be saved. We tell you now about anyone who we know who needs your help. Lord, thank you that you care about each one of us. I'd like you to think now about somewhere you might go next week, or someone you might meet. I would like you to pray now, silently, for this place or person. Lord, help us to bring your love to others and to tell our friends and colleagues about you wherever we go. In Jesus' name, amen.